What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com's Backstage Report. It's June 16th. We're coming at you a day early. Just felt like doing it a day early. We're going to highlight and recap all of the exclusive news that we've had over the last week, the exclusive details, all that good stuff. Starting with a story that we broke on Friday. Now, we had mentioned this on the Q&A. I believe I said, yeah, I think there are some creative plans for Hangman Page. And there were some engagement posts that were sort of rushed out there. And I was like, okay, I might as well just drop the story. He is set to be back soon. Now, even though Dynamite is near his home this week, I have not heard that he is planned for this week's Dynamite. And I just want to kind of quell expectations there. I had been told at one point he wasn't planned for that. And that the return would be either like end of June, early July, something like that. Or maybe set up for that. But Hangman Page is on his way back to AEW. He has not been injured. He's been out of action for personal reasons that required contractually obligated time off to tend to. Prior to that, he had been engaged in a lengthy feud with Swerve, who has since become AEW champion in his absence. We've not heard of specific creative plans for him, but he was expected to continue as a heel, or at least some shades of gray elements initially. Now, we're not told if that absence is added to his current contract, for example, the 4 months that he effectively missed. We're not told if that will be added to the end of his deal or if it was just worked into the agreement of his deal. But the absence was contractual and something that had been worked out long before. So it wasn't a surprise for either side. They knew that this was coming. While we're on the subject of AEW, they have had ongoing conversations with the Grizzled Young Vets, formerly the Dyad, Zach Gibson, James Drake. They were not all elite during their first match. They worked the April 27th episode of AEW Collision in a losing effort against the Acclaimed. But the two sides have been in ongoing talks of doing a contract. Now, I haven't heard if this is anywhere near finalized or anything else. We were told that it was not a slam dunk that they would end up there, but AEW has maintained interest in them. They've also appeared numerous times for TNA Wrestling, but had been working there without contracts. They finished up with that company for the time being in March. There was a lot of people asking about Motor City Machine Guns as well. I don't have anything new on them. The last I had asked was still a we don't have any information on that. Fightful has never reported itself that Motor City Machine Guns were signed or coming into the company. There was a report a couple of months ago that they were finalizing a deal, but I have not heard that that had been finalized or even been able to verify as much as that. But Grizzled Young Vets have been in ongoing negotiations with AEW. Rebel's been off AEW TV for a while. She was backstage at the June 11th NXT tapings. She is personally connected to someone who worked at NXT, just visiting. She is still under contract to AEW as of now. From AEW over to TNA, we spoke to Killer Kelly for an interview. Now, she's been off screen for TNA for a while, but has been appearing for Pro Wrestling Revolver. I learned a little bit more about why there was that miscommunication within the company that Killer Kelly had left the company. She was effectively removed from TV or removed herself from TV. I don't know which one it was, but she wasn't on TV anymore. And internally, a document, a script said, Killer Kelly is gone. So there were a bunch of people there that thought that she was gone. She isn't. She is still under contract to the company. She's there for quite a while as well. We talked about her viral clips and when she began to learn English. Working facial expressions, working blood sport, all kinds of cool stuff like that. That interview drops on, I believe it's Tuesday, so make sure to check that out, guys. Jordan Grace spoke with Fightful after her NXT Battleground appearance, said that she had to get stitches for her earring being ripped out during that match. She wouldn't get too into the process of how putting together a WWE match happened, but she did say that, like, she wasn't allowed to do pile drivers and things like that. There's a lot more camera work to do in WWE. She was very flattered that Gail Kim came to support her. Gail hadn't told her that she was going to be there, but Grace did say that she wanted her to be, but understood if she didn't feel comfortable after her tumultuous history with WWE. They did a couple of takes of the Shawn Michaels and Sexy Red skit One almost resulted in Grace punching Shawn Michaels on accident. She's also working on the new WWE 2K game. Don't know if she was supposed to tell us that, but she did. It's the new My Rise mode, and she emulated Chelsea Green and JC Jane for it. We also spoke to AJ Francis. Man, he has brought an awful lot of big personalities to TNA Wrestling, from DJ Who Kid, Sean Merriman, BDE, Shawnee Styles. He said that he likes being a bridge between pop culture and wrestling. He also talked about Rich Swann, said that working in first class has been a blast for him. He's signed with TNA through the rest of 2024. He's loving TNA, says they've been really good to him. They gave him the opportunities, gave him the mic, let him show who he really was. He does not like Joe Hendry. He said, I'd never believe in Joe Hendry. But he said, because I don't believe in Joe Hendry, that's why everyone else does. And he was like, I'm not saying I made him famous, but I'm saying there's a lot of people that tell me they found out about Joe Hendry when he did the video about him. He talked about PCO, Chris Bay, Ace Austin, Mustafa Ali, Tommy Dreamer, Rhino as people he wants to go against for the Digital Media Championship. Check out that interview with AJ Francis. We always have a good time. Like, I really like talking to him a lot. Hardy Boys. Jeff Hardy made his return to TNA Wrestling after being gone for 7 years. Fightful Select had reported that his deal was coming up on Thursday, basically at midnight Thursday, Friday. The wheels had already been in motion earlier that week for Hardy to come in, and plenty of talent didn't know about it. Plenty of people in the company didn't know about it. But we were able to confirm that Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy are still free agents and are working in TNA without contracts. So Matt Hardy's originally agreed upon deal was effectively up. Like, it was just going to be a short-term thing, and they decided to add more to it. Though Rebby worked matches for years, she hasn't competed since 2016, but there have been pitches for Rebby Hardy, who is just a monster on TikTok. Like, I cannot begin to tell you guys the reach that she has on that platform. There have been pitches for her to work a match. I don't know if that's going to happen, though. We have not heard of any continued extended talks between the Hardys and AEW, but we're told that, at least from AEW's side, there's always the possibility that door remains open. TNA was very happy with the post-show speech delivered by the Hardys, Nick Nemeth, and Joe Hendry. Let's talk about the TNA NXT crossover. It doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon. Johnny Russo, a head NXT writer, was backstage at Against All Odds. Jordynne Grace made her open challenge. She had told us that she hoped that it was a WWE talent and expected the partnership between the two sides to continue. Those that Corey Brennan spoke to in NXT spoke very highly of former TNA talent or former NXT talent that are in there in TNA, like Mustafa Ali and Zach Wentz. Now, I heard last year, like over a year ago, that the stance had softened on Wentz in WWE and they were open to him possibly being there again. I do know that they announced New Cash Republic as Wes Lee's partners because they didn't want people to think it was going to be the Rascals last week. Now, it's long been known that Shawn Michaels is a big supporter of Mustafa Ali. Prior to his release, he was supposed to be a champion there. However, Mustafa Ali is not actually signed to a TNA contract, so it's important to note he could just appear whenever he wants, completely separate of that. He doesn't have to get anything cleared by anybody. So he could just show up there and isn't like completely separate of any interpromotional agreement. Ash by Elegance, former Dana Brooke, was brought in very last minute and hidden away for her spot. She told Comic Book's Liam Crowley she was asked on very short notice, and that lines up with what we've heard as well. She wasn't seen backstage prior, but people in WWE always say that she's well-liked there. One WWE source that I spoke to mentioned Moose as someone the company had interest in for years prior. TNA sources noted that Moose has been very outspoken about wanting to participate in the crossover. He has been courted by WWE numerous times, including times when he probably shouldn't have been under Canyon Seaman. But that is something that had been discussed at many points as well. Some news from NXT. Several of the NIL class shown on the show this past week took part in the recent tryouts at the Performance Center. Cody Rhodes was said to have spoken to any talent that he could during his visit. Those asking why Brooks Jensen's storyline is yet to be shown on TV. NXT sources say that they're relying on fan reaction to carry the story and are happy with how it has blurred the lines with some fans. Now, that was before he posted a bunch of images of departed rock stars, which, man, that's... I don't like that. I don't like making that implication or anything like that. NXT officials were said to be very happy with Wendy Choo's new presentation and the fan reaction to her shifting character. She's got a good reputation for her versatility in that company, which comes as no surprise. She has worked as Karen Q with Tian Sha, as Wendy Choo and this new gimmick. So no big surprise there. A lot of the 25-man Battle Royal participants were locked in last week, but there are several that were open. And there were some people in TNA that thought that Johnny Russo being at TNA was maybe to scout out for that or something like that. Not quite sure if that has any connection or anything like that. A source close to Fanatics indicated to us that Cody Rhodes had a private signing recently that resulted in 500 belts being sold almost immediately. He was also the top talent seller in Scotland. I'm told that CM Punk also did very well over there. And the Scotland Austin shirts. Mansoor and Mason Madden were at AEW Collision this week, although they didn't appear on the show. Initial word from backstage in WWE was that Damian Priest was fine and was effectively selling during the match. He got a lot of praise for his Clash at the Castle performance. We'd mentioned that TW3 and Luke Curtis from OVW were featured as extras on SmackDown last week as security guards. They also appeared at the Newport Cincinnati TNA tapings as Mustafa Ali's Secret Service. Check out our interview with Mance Warner as well. It's his first one since winning the GCW title. Man, I like when he's in like sort of character and all that stuff. Sometimes it's hard to ask him out of character questions, but he's always one that it's a worthy interview to watch, regardless of whether or not he's in or out of character. Corey also interviewed Luke Jacobs about winning Super Strong Style 16. Worth checking out. All six women in the North American title ladder match were banged up last week, but we weren't told of any notable injuries. Kalani Jordan received an ovation backstage following her win. CM Punk was in attendance for Battleground, as highlighted, kept a low profile but was in good spirits. There was a brief consideration to have the TNA contingent that was on hand shown on the broadcast, but there were also some UFC names that were there, and they were said to be enthusiastic about the experience, with one former fighter, which we're told is a former champion, that was very, very excited and wanted to do some stuff with WWE in the future. Sami Zayn spoke with Fightful ahead of Clash at the Castle. He said that initially he was a little bit hesitant or resistant about changing his theme song back, but it's such a feel-good moment that and a feel-good theme that he felt like it was the right time and the right platform for that. We talked about moves and finishers and all that good stuff. Specifically, I wanted to ask him about the Brainbuster coming back at WrestleMania 40. That's his top rope Brainbuster. He said that Triple H, being a wrestler, there's more leeway with that type of thing now. He said it was his idea. It didn't get much pushback. Was very easy to make happen. He rationalized it as safer than pile drivers, but said that that's ultimately semantics. Said that one of the most exciting things in wrestling is to be able to tell a great story, which is what he's very proud that he's been able to do with the Chad Gable thing. Like, he was really, really excited talking about that. We also talked about the Johnny Knoxville match and said that there were some limitations one time for their match, but they got to do mainly what they wanted to do, but there was some stuff in the build-up he wanted to do more of. He actually talked about how Johnny Knoxville gave out his phone number and said that it actually made rides a lot easier for him because he would start answering the calls and just having really long conversations with fans. But, man, that I don't know if I've had more fun watching a wrestling match than that match. And that was a very, very good chat to have with him. He also said he had FOMO about missing the last Clash at the Castle, wanted to appear on this one, and mentioned Santiago, Chile as a place that he wanted to go, as well as Antarctica, which I don't think the last one's going to happen. But Santiago, Chile, I think could absolutely happen. Same time zone as us and everything here in the East Coast. Corey Brennan spoke to AJ Styles, talked about the OC, said he would love to see them have a full reunion. said that his new theme song has grown on him. And with his promos, he tries to not plan everything down to the word, but his gear is carefully considered. Drew McIntyre talks about the Scotland show, and he was always given the time difference as an excuse, and he said, no, that's ridiculous. That shouldn't be a thing, and is glad that excuse no longer exists. Even though Endeavor, UFC have their crossover, he's not interested in doing MMA, boxing, anything like that, but said that he does still want to go after the Bloodline. Ricochet might be going after something outside of WWE TV. He is not expected to return to WWE TV as things stand. However, he is still under contract till July, we have confirmed. It is possible that WWE could write him into something before then and he be contractually obligated. But the active plan as of last week's Raw was to write him off TV with the Bron Breakker thing. And that's something we had mentioned on Saturday as well. He's not scheduled to appear on WWE TV again as of now. However, due to being under contract, they could ask him to be. Samantha Irvin, she's expected to continue with the company. We don't know how long's left on her deal. She made the trip to Scotland. He didn't. That's pretty much the long and short of it as it relates to them. Ricochet, as of now, is expected to leave. Nothing is impossible, right? Anything could happen. Cody Rhodes and Soft Ground Ugandan Wrestling. Cody had been inquiring a lot lately, not just about doing the ring and paying for a ring there, but the logistics of how to get it there, making sure that everything was on the up and up with SGW. I had heard he reached out to Mason Madden about that. And I know that SGW had looked into getting a ring, but the land, basically leasing the land, became important. And then Mason Mansoor found out these people do not have a lot of food. They don't have a lot of beds or anything like that, and wanted to get them some essentials. But also the logistics of shipping a ring over there would have cost probably thousands and thousands of dollars. And it's something that would have to go over on a ship, effectively. So I think it's something that's going to be created locally, and Cody Rhodes was definitely doing his due diligence on that end of things. The Wyatt family, y'all ready for it? Looks like Monday, right? Listen, I'm just going by the QR codes. I don't have the exact details here on when they're going to pop up, but I can tell you I was happy with some of the news that I got. So if you watch the Bray Wyatt documentary, they mentioned the fact that a lot of the things that happened with The Fiend and happened with the Wyatt family and stuff like that were very tough to execute in ring. And I'm told that this is not supposed to have supernatural elements in it, at least as presented right now. And it's going to be a lot easier to apply in the ring. Now, we have heard Bo Dallas, Nikki Cross, Dexter Lumis, Eric Rowan, all expected to be a part of the group. Now, I saw people go, what about Alexa and Joe Gacy? Possibly. I don't know. Just, I have heard those four names. The other two I've heard speculated. And again, that's why we put with additional pieces that we haven't quite confirmed. Rowan was re-signed recently and was at the Performance Center. Bo Dallas has been under contract since 2022 when he was brought back under the Uncle Howdy persona. Loomis has been off TV for over a year, and we were simply told that he was not injured whenever that we asked about it. So I was told that people in WWE think there's a real chance this will work with modern wrestling. And there were hints in the Bray Wyatt documentary that they needed to do something that would make Bray proud. And there were teases back then. So the return has been planned since at least beginning of April, and they've been mapping this out for months prior. And the last time that we asked, Uncle Howdy was slated to be a part of the group, Mercy the Buzzard, Huskus Pig, White Rabbit, though a lot of the visuals surrounding that group are being kept close to the vest. Now, I saw a comment on our story that said, oh, color me surprised, Uncle Howdy. Well, I'm sorry. I believe the Wyatt family has underwent many changes over the years, and a lot of things go back and forth and don't end up happening. Things change, especially with something like this. But as best I know, it's to continue. Now, there has been some stuff that's pretty close to the vest, like imagery and all that, but I have been told that they worked extensively on some of the costumes and the like. So we are certainly on the lookout for that as of Monday. And listen, that's just the word within the company. Anything can happen. Anything can change. I mean, they were going to make Judgment Day Supernatural at one point, and then fortunately they put their foot down. about that. But I guess we'll see how it works out. As of now, it looks like it won't have supernatural elements, which make me very happy, because that was a primary concern of mine, is how do you make sense of this stuff modern day? I did love Firefly Funhouse, and you can still do that and have fun with it, but yeah, I guess we'll see. Guys, thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.